live from Pretty May Team, where nothing works anymore. It's the Heart Nasagi Podcast, episode 56.
Yes, that's right, everybody. Pretty May decided to fuck me. So now we're doing Audacity, recording and sending files to each other. But hey, that's okay. That's how you get that fucking shit done. And with you on the podcast this time is me, of course, because I am angelic. It is Matt, and you can catch me on Twitter at HeartKnight. And with me, my typical co-host, the most awesome per pound, let me tell you.
There's a lot of me to go around.
That's right. But that's more loving, you know what I'm saying?
More loving.
That's right. And more awesome, let me tell you. That is Mike, and you can get him on Twitter at Usagi704. What's up, man?
Hey. Playing some games.
Aren't we all? That's what this is about. It's about
game
them
season.
It's about them damn video games.
Some damn video games.
Damn video games.
Man. Mm. Those are some damn video games. And they're fun. Fun video games.
That's what I've heard. And unfortunately, we have to tell the folks, the listeners at home, all about the people that try to make it shitty and not fun.
Yeah, fuck those people.
Yeah, fuck every one of them. That's
ruin
right.
My games.
Don't ruin my games, you bitch.
Leave them alone. They're only games.
I know. It's just so upsetting. Well, here's something that shouldn't upset you. We got a podcast, and we're going to fucking entertain the hell out of you. Bloop.
Well, that was entertaining.
I know. I try. It's the little things.
Indeed.
Okay, so I guess we'll start off with kind of the usual. Have you been playing those games that we talked so awesomely about?
Oh, I have.
And what is those
about? And how.
And how. Tell me about them.
Well, I will tell you about them. trying to think. When was our last podcast? Exactly. Okay, it's like a month ago almost.
It was the beginning of November.
Okay. You know.
It's been about a month.
So I haven't been playing a lot of additional stuff since then. Of course, a lot more Destiny until recently, where I stopped playing to give myself a break before the expansion comes out on the December 9th, the first one. Since I have the limited edition, so I already have the first two paid for, so I'll be playing those. So with Destiny, I was just trying to get... My main goal for the last, like, month or so was just to get the pieces of armor from the Vault of Glass raid that exists in the base game so that I can get to level 30, which is the max level at the moment. That'll be raised to level 32, apparently, with the new expansion. So, I did hit it this past week or so, like maybe two, more like a week and a half ago. I got in a raid with some randoms, which is really weird, because all of a sudden, that week, everyone just decided to stop playing, so I didn't have anyone to do a raid with. And I was kind of annoyed by that, because I needed those gauntlets, and that was all I needed. But it's random drops, so at specific points that you can potentially get them, whatever the hell it is that you want to get, so... So I was trying to get one together on that Wednesday of, I think, last week or the week before or something like that. And I got a few people, but as usual, the hard part of the raid isn't the raid itself. It's really getting people together. Enough of them. So I was had about, I want to say, three or four people, but I need six. So, it's kind of a problem.
It's no go, huh?
Yeah, it didn't seem to go, and then, whatever reason, I was at a loss, and no one was really on, like usual. You know, it seemed like everyone, like I said, they just kind of stopped playing. So hopefully they'll come back for the expansion, but besides that, you know, I went, and I was like, well, I don't know what to do, so I'm just going to try to go to the tower and just give random requests to people and see if they'll join, if they look like they're raid ready. And the funny thing is, when I did that, I got an invite for a raid. Like, maybe...
Well, go 30, you.
Yeah, like, maybe 30 seconds or less when I got there. It was really weird. So, I just told the people I was already in chat with that I'm going to have to take them up on their offer. I told them I'd invite them to it as well, but there was no extra spots. It was just 5, and they went to the 6th. So, I was like, well, I'm going to have to do this today. And I told them if they can get people... others, you know, 2 more people, then I'll just jump out of this one and jump into the one that we were already planning. And the funny thing is that didn't happen because obviously they didn't get to play because they couldn't get anyone because I was playing for some reason. So the funny thing is, this is really weird because I'm not used to randoms being good. I'm used to random teams cobbled together by a bunch of unknowns to be shit. But surprisingly, it was one of the best teams I ever played with.
Wow.
Yeah. We had this shit down.
That's so good to hear.
And I got my aforementioned gauntlets drop that I needed. So I was really happy that worked out, because I don't think I would have had an easy time getting it on the more attempts in later weeks if I didn't get it then. So I was really glad I got it. So yeah, that was that. And then more recently, I was playing 1-for-101 on the Wii U, which... kind of sucks. I don't know what to say. It's a really disappointing game for me. It's really simplistic. It seems like there's a lot more to it. They realize there's mainly really one attack button, and the other one that the game wants to convince you it has isn't really much of an attack. So, and there's just lots of stupid little things. Design decisions that I don't really like about the game. A lot of it is based on the Wii U's specific abilities, of course, which annoys the crap out of me. You basically, even though the back of the box claims you can use the Wii U Pro Controller or other things like the Classic Controller Pro, you know, you really can't, because there's like little bits of the game here and there that require you to pretty much look at the tablet screen to see what's going on.
Well, they referring are you able to play with another person locally or something?
No.
Okay.
It's just a one-player game.
Okay.
As far as I know.
Because I thought maybe that was why it was saying those things on the back, but you can use other controllers because there are some other Wii games, like specifically ones from Nintendo, where one person will use the first player will use like the tablet.
Yeah,
and then the Wiimotes you can use for the other players.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know what the word is, asynchronous multiplayer or something like that. I don't know what the word is, but I don't know what I'm looking for, but I think people know what we're talking about. You know, it's not quite even. It's, I guess, asymmetrical. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, now I found out later on, more recently, that you can push select a button on like the Wii U Pro Controller, and you can actually use one screen by swapping effectively to a view of the full screen being what the tablet was going to show, or you can do one where it's picture in picture kind of thing, which is nice. It helps my issue without being able, you know, without having to look at the tablet screen. But the problem is it still has to be swapped between, and it's kind of an issue though still. I still don't like it, regardless, even though that made it a little bit more bearable, but it still was dumb. So, yeah, I don't know.
Do you feel this purchase was, at least on your part, was due to, hey, guys, Platinum is awesome and never bad?
Yeah, in part it was. I mean, I'm going to give them a chance anyway, because they've made some of my favorite games ever, so I'm just disappointed. It was frustrating a lot of times, but it also overstayed its welcome. It was just way too... just goes on forever. It's like, okay, is this done yet? Please end? You know. Whereas I didn't feel that way with Bayonetta 2. In fact, Bayonetta 2 seemed like it was... that's another game I was playing recently, of course. That one seemed more like... I'm pretty sure it's shorter than on average than the original game. At least it feels that way to me. It also feels a lot easier. Bayonetta 2 on normal just doesn't seem that difficult. I did die a few times, but if you don't count, like, well, I guess I won't count. I won't say that. But if you I don't know. It took me many hours of playing my first time through, my first session through, before I actually died the first time. And I don't remember exactly where it was I died, but I want to say it was on a specific enemy called Sloth or something like that. I don't remember. Because, like, in the first game, there's these enemies called Grace and Glory, and then there's versions later called Gracious and Glorious. And those guys, I'm sure everyone who's played Bayonetta 1 hates the shit out of them, because they are hard as hell. And they're pieces of shit. Even when you're good at the game, they can be assholes. But in this game, it wasn't until I think it was Sloth as the new one of the new demon enemies when you're in hell. That was like the first. I was like looking for enemies like them, and, you know, comparable, that were kind of dicks and hard to beat, but they weren't bosses. And I think that's the first one I really found that was kind of like that. But that took a while to get to, and there wasn't really anybody else, and they weren't, and it still wasn't quite as bad as the other ones in the first game, so. Yeah. So generally, I think Bayonetta 2 is really great, but at the same time, I was not quite as impressed as a lot of reviews seem to be. I mean, it's kind of hard for me to say that, because I got a system just for this game, and I've been waiting for it for a long time, thinking there was never going to be, you know, a sequel to Bayonetta for quite a while until they announced it, so. I don't know. I really like it, but I guess maybe I was just... I don't know what I was expecting, but maybe I was expecting a little too much. Which I don't know what that would be.
Well, for me, if people haven't been paying attention to what I've been doing in the last month, well, then you sort of kind of missed out on the adventures of Ratchet November, as I call it. Hashtag Ratchet November. NOV. that's what I used on Twitter to announce anything that I was doing. And it was basically where I played. The whole month I played any game in the Ratchet & Clank series that I have not played yet. And those were numerous at the time. And I played through three of them during that time. Ratchet Deadlocked on the PS2. Ratchet & Clank Future Tools of Destruction. And Ratchet and Future Quest for Booty on the PS3. And you can catch that on my Now Playing November 2014 blog post. And there's links in there for the individual games when I talked about them earlier in the month. But I will just say this, that I didn't like... I preferred, actually, Deadlocked over the rest of them. And the rest of them are the typical stuff, and Deadlock's more of like a spinoff, but not so much, because it's still the core combat. It just has, it lacks the usual, I guess, adventuring and puzzles or whatever the hell. And it has a lesser emphasis on story, which might bug some people, but I liked it. I ended up liking it a lot better than I did a couple years ago when I started to play it initially. The other two games I mentioned, I actually had beaten. I just was firing up MAME. I played some of the 1990 arcade game, Batman, based on the 1989 movie put out by Atari Games. It's clearly a game in the arcade, the sucker quarters. There's nothing special about it, really, other than the license. They don't really do a whole lot of awesome with it, but it was entertaining, the least. If it didn't have the IP, didn't have a Batman shit next... attached to it, it really wouldn't have anything going for it, I don't think. It's pretty generic otherwise. But speaking of generic, Konami's 1989 beat-em-up game called Crime Fighters is just garbage. I'm sure that some people our age might have played it back in the day, but it's not very well remembered, if at all. In fact, I kind of forgot about it until I started playing it again. Just really, really generic, boring. In fact, kind of unfair. If you want a better a better take on that game. The sequel, which over here is called Vendetta, and in Japan is called Crime Fighters 2, is a better idea. Just go with that.
Yeah, I remember our local arcade had a cabinet of Vendetta at the time.
I know, and I was all like, at the time I was dreaming about having it. I was like, I want that game at home. I don't know why I thought that, but I did.
Huge four-player cabinet, bring it home.
Well, it was two players as well. I don't know if that one was, but...
I'm pretty sure they have the four-player one. I don't remember it being small. I remember it being big. The one we had locally.
Yeah, it might have been. So that was my month. And now I'm in the mood to play one of a few games I decided to pick out that's viscerally satisfying in some form or another. And I think you picked what?
I picked Yakuza 3.
You did.
You know why? Because I don't really care what you think is viscerally satisfying. You just need to play Yakuza because you need to play more Yakuza.
Well, you're being a dick. But anyways.
Everyone has to do that. Everyone has to play that series.
I guess.
Because you didn't play it. You know, I know. Because they stopped bringing them over here. Jerks.
Dicks.
I hate you all.
Oh, come on. We can't be hating everybody.
I'm hating people.
Fine.
Yeah. I got to play them in Japanese now and not know what's going on.
I also got votes for the Tomb Raider reboot. And what was the other one? Urban Rain on the PS2. So I don't know. It's still up in the air, kind of, but we'll see. That's my near future, gaming-wise, anyway. On what I'm going to do with that stuff.
Well, I also want to mention that I also recently got and started playing, and you started playing this too, Super Smash Brothers on the Wii U.
Yeah, that's pretty decent.
It's okay.
Nothing to write home about.
Well, my problem with it is almost nothing to it in the modes. It's like it likes to have all this shit in the menus and pretend like there's things that are going on, but there's not really anything going on.
No, I guess there really
isn't. It's mostly just a bunch of crap like, oh, play a board game. No, let's not play a board game. Or collect trophies that aren't real. There aren't even PSN type trophies. No, I don't want to do that. I'm not interested in any of this thing. Any of these things you talk about. But yeah, as far as the actual game's concerned, I've only played Smash Bros. On the N64, but prior to this. So, like, it's good, I guess. I don't know. Everyone jerks off about Melee, but I don't give a fuck because I don't want a GameCube. Fuck GameCube.
Well, what's your character you use?
Right now, the mains I've settled on: Bowser Jr., Dark Pit, and Falco.
Yeah, you were definitely rocking Dark Pit last night.
Yeah, I haven't come up with any other possibles because I didn't play use anyone any recently, but the other possibles are Fox, Captain Falcon, and Sheik, but I haven't delved into them enough.
Sheik.
I know, you like him. I know. We'll see. I haven't been sold quite yet. Plus, I need to try everybody else out too, which I haven't played most of the cast yet.
I gotta say this real quick. Pizza's online.
Yeah.
I saw pizza. Apparently. I gotta have more pizza. Anyways.
I also picked up Shadow Warrior on the PS4.
You did.
Yep. It was $40. It looks like dumb fun, so why not, right?
Sure.
And I also finally started playing TXK on the Vita.
That looks wicked.
It's really good.
I like Tempest.
You like Tempest?
I like Tempest.
Then you need to get this game if you have a Vita.
I wish I was on something else.
Or a PlayStation TV. You can buy that instead.
Yeah, I don't. I just want it on something I already have. Make it happen.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. You have to contact LlamaSoft. They can tell. They'll probably say, no, we're not doing that.
Well, then I don't like Tempest now either. But I like Tempest.
Get in touch with Jeff Minter and see what he says.
I want Tempest.
Oh, it's a really good Tempest game. So, there you go.
It's Tempest.
Do you like Tempest?
I like Tempest.
At least play some TXK.
I just wish I could.
I'm going to give a sneak peek of my awards for this year.
Yeah.
And TXK is nominated for Best Music.
Well, that's good.
So if that's anything to go by, which it is, because the soundtrack's fucking sick, so there you go. There's another reason to check it out. I can recommend it.
You can?
I can recommend it.
Dude, yeah. That's awesome.
You like arcade games? You like Tempest? You like great soundtracks?
I do.
Electronic soundtracks?
I do.
Get yourself some TXK.
I still can't.
I know. You need a Vita.
That's a problem. I don't have one.
Yeah. Gonna get one?
No, I'm not.
You're not gonna get a Vita?
I don't see the reason to.
I don't blame you, unfortunately.
Yeah, there's no convincing. There's just nothing worthwhile overall yet for me. Yeah. I'm not one of those people to get a system for the one game. I'm just not.
I'm not typically either. So. Bayonetta 2 is the first time I did that for a Wii U.
Brave man.
Yeah. Well, I got it for $200 refurbished from Nintendo, so that's still less than most of the other ways you can get it, so it's okay for that much, I guess.
Yep, I guess.
I'm finding other reasons to play my Wii U, so that's a good thing, I guess. It's gonna need them, because God, I hate so much about that system.
Wii U, I hate you so much.
You want to play with other people? Don't bother playing Wii U, because you're gonna have to. Oh, you want to message somebody on the Wii U that's online at the same time as you are? Do you want to say, hey, let's play X game online together?
I do.
Nah, don't do that, because they'll never get it.
Oh.
There's messaging, but it doesn't notify you that you got a message.
That's
the best it does.
Dumb.
The best it does is the main menu when you're not in a game, the Miiverse icon at the bottom will pulsate. That's it.
That's it. Dumb.
I know.
Anyways, I guess we'll get into some stories here. The first one's not so much a story, but is a story. It's more or less a reminder tab, I guess, I got going on here about Rev3 Games.
Mm-hmm.
And they closed down on November 6, 2014. And probably like a lot of people, because they existed before Adam Sessler, and clearly they existed after Adam Sessler, but guess what? Not for me, and not for a lot of people.
Yeah, once Sessler left, it was like an immediate noticeable drop-off in quality and content, and quantity too, actually.
Well, the same thing the other way, when he came on.
Yeah, exactly.
It was an immediate spike in all that.
Yeah, it was really good.
Does anyone...
it sucked.
It feels like that he was the only one that had passion, but thankfully the rest of them got it when he showed it. But then when he left, they all just went right back to... Eh.
So what we're saying here is Adam Sessler is the Michael Jordan of games journalism or whatever you want to call
it. Yeah, I guess you could say that.
Because just like when Jordan was on, no matter what team he had with him, it always... Just his presence on the team, let alone his skill, made people better.
Yep.
And Sessler at Rev3 Games made people better. But then once he left, they lost all their motivation.
Yep.
At least that's what it seemed like.
In fact, they launched the Rev3 Games on March 13th, 2012. And nobody knew about it. Nobody cared. Even those who knew. Until November 12th of that year. When they hired Adam. And then he left in April of this year. And you can literally look at the interest, just like climb and then drop off right at those 2 points. And it's really sad, but it's the way it is, I guess.
Yep. Sucks to be them.
I guess.
Well, at least I have a new site since he left that picks up the slack in a lot of ways, and that's usgamer.net, so go check that out.
Yeah,
my favorite one.
Jeremy Parrish, man. What the fuck with him, man? He's Mr. Retro Niche Guy. It seems like he's got a website for everything. He's got his articles on US Gamer. Then he does a lot of stuff on the side, like
Retronauts.
What else? He's got that Anatomy of a Games website. He has Game Boy World. Mm-hmm. And what I saw yesterday, he now has Metroidvania.com. That dude just gets around. All good stuff, all worth checking out. So get on that stuff.
So check it out.
Yeah, what you waiting for? Oh, that's right, you're listening to this. No, no, don't stop listening to us.
I didn't say stop listening. They can listen to us and still bring up the website.
This is true.
Just don't read it yet, because you gotta listen to us.
Yeah, that's true. Well, hear ye, here we go with some news articles here. Let's see here. First one here. Call of Duty Advanced Warfare's lead developer. He doesn't see the Call of Duty community as being misogynistic, and that he has a low tolerance for toxic behavior. Like a lot of areas of society, there are examples of people behaving poorly. This is what he's also saying. I certainly wouldn't characterize the community of fans I know and had the pleasure of engaging with as toxic or misogynistic. The community as a whole is very healthy and engaged throughout thoughtful. I just can't read today. Probably like anything anywhere well outside of gaming. In the fringes of a lot of areas of society, there are examples of people behaving poorly.
And I really like that last one, because that last sentence, it hammers home what I've been saying about this whole stupid, you know, I'm not going to say the word, but you know, that gate thing.
Yes.
But it's, that's what I've been saying the whole time, is people act like, you know, we're acting like gaming is all, it's over, and you know, you don't want to use the word gamer anymore, because it's just ruined, and gamers are terrible people. It's like, no. People are terrible people, and they exist in all facets of a society. You can find them anywhere, and you will find them within the gaming community too, of course, like anywhere else.
Yeah, if you think you're wherever you are in life, wherever you go, if you think that none of that exists, then you're purposely trying to hide from it.
You're just a fucking ignorant idiot, is what you are.
Yeah,
and you need to stop slandering entire groups of people based on a few people who are assholes, because there's assholes everywhere.
Sounds like if you think that way, it sounds like you're the problem.
Well, actually, I think a lot of them are, because they're looking for solutions to problems that don't exist.
Or at least making bigger deals out of problems that are much smaller in reality.
Yes, that too. Now, while I'm not part of the Call of Duty fan base, because I don't really like those games, but still, well, I'm sure there are assholes in it, like everywhere in society and life. There's also good people, too.
Yep.
It'd be nice if you keep that in mind and keep shit in perspective. Stop overreacting.
That is right, sir.
That's my word of the day.
It's your word of the day? Cool. All right, next up, Afterburner 2 leads Sega's second set of 3DS classics next year. And the other games will also be Fantasy Zone, Fantasy Zone 2, Outrun, and Thunderblade.
Well, provided Thunderblade is, you know, the arcade game and not the Genesis game. Which I assume it will be.
Yeah, because Genesis was Super Thunderblade, so.
Oh, yeah. Good. Good. Good.
Excellent.
We don't need that shitty Genesis port.
Well, here's what I say about this. Give me my motherfucking Outrun in the same way you gave me Super Hang-On on the PlayStation Network. God damn it.
That's right.
That's basically why I wanted to bring this up. Not because I care about 3D remakes on the 3DS, but because I win a perfect. God damn it. I forgot to shut this thing up. Everyone knows I'm perfect now. Sorry, everybody. Hate to break it to you. I'm better than you. So, yeah. That's basically what I wanted to say. Was that give me some god damn it motherfucking Outrun. Arcade Outrun on PSN. You want it. You know you do.
That would be great.
Yes, it would be.
I'm still. I'd prefer to have a working copy on my Saturn than of a sealed version I have it sitting here that doesn't work.
Why doesn't it work?
Because it doesn't. I don't know. I bought it sealed, and it's completely doesn't work.
That's fucked.
I know. Didn't expect that. That's for sure.
No, you didn't. Anyways, say so get on that. It's the only way I'm gonna be happy. You're making me unhappy. Don't do that.
Don't make him unhappy now.
Yeah, I advise against that.
You wouldn't want to see him unhappy.
All right, next up we got some... I guess some people after that spinoff of Far Cry 3 for called Blood Dragon, people were like, yeah, let's do that again for Far Cry 4, and while they're not against doing such a... doing a spinoff, they clearly said that they're not doing that again. So there'll not be a sequel to Blood Dragon for Far Cry 4. It'll just be, if they do anything, it'll be just something completely different. But if they do it at all, so
yeah,
that's basically what that news is. And that was some 80s neon action. It's great. So,
do you actually have that game?
Yes, I do.
Have you played it?
No.
Okay.
So I just know it's awesome.
Oh, you know it's awesome beforehand. Okay, right. That's cool. Of course it is.
When you got 80s coded neon shit going on, and you got that one song, Friends Are Forever or something, at the end of it. Awesome! it just can't be anything else. That's quick. Next up is the Trans-Pacific Partnership bullshit, because it doesn't do what they claim. It's basically Obama going around touring Asia, being like, yeah, this is awesome. TPP is awesome. No, it's not. He says this has the potential of being an historic agreement. Yeah, he forgot to put struggling out of bullshit at the end of it. we remain committed to ensuring that the final agreement reflects our common vision of an ambitious, comprehensive, high-standard, and balanced agreement that enhances the competitiveness of our economies, promotes innovation and entrepreneurship, spurs economic growth, blah 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 blah. You know, basically, says a lot, it ultimately says nothing. So, that's great. I don't want to really go into it, because you can find the... there's a link on the... you can click on the link to the story, which is President Obama promotes Trans-Pacific Partnership on Tour of Asia. And that's GamePolitics.com story. And then they have a link in there going to the Electronic Front... I can't talk today. And I already mentioned that. Electronic Frontier Foundation's fact sheet on the TPP, and you can learn more there. I'm not going to go into it. I'm sure no one will click it, so whatever. No point in going over it. But trust me, it's basically I put it in there. I group it in with SOPA, PIPA, and all that junk before, so it's a little bit more wide-ranging than just internet stuff, but it's got that in there. So that's why I don't want it. So fuck that nonsense bullshit with a rubber hose. Speaking of internet shit, Ted Cruz decided to get all up on some negativity against net neutrality, trying to act like that net neutrality somehow stifles innovation. And
this is hilarious.
He specifically in a video, and this is not and the story that I linked to on the website does not go to a video, but there is a video out there where he acts like he says that he held up an old timey phone, basically, that was a rotary phone, and he acted like he's like, this is covered by Title II, and that's why it's terrible. As if that's connected at all. And then he held up his cell phone, acting like, and he said, this is not. Like, actually, that is. Hence why they're both phones. What?
Yeah, I said, yeah, it totally is.
I was going to say.
It's utility. It's covered by, yeah.
And he's like, he tried to claim.
Does he know what utility is?
No, apparently he doesn't. He doesn't realize that if it's a phone, it's under Title II. It doesn't matter if it looks like a cell phone today or it looks like a rotary phone. It's the same thing. It's still a telephone, technically. And he tried to act like that those are separate things, and somehow one was Title II, one wasn't. The old one was, and the old new one's not. That's not fucking true at all. Because you're a fucking idiot, Ted Cruz, and you know it. The old-timey phone, that's innovation has nothing to do with this. Innovation has nothing to do with net neutrality and Title II. It has all to do with the point of Title II is it's a common utility, and that's what the internet has become. Because when you, and I'm sure a lot of people have noticed, like when I started working back when I was a young boy, there wasn't anything that you had or could, that was ever set up so that you could go online and interact and do whatever, like say HR nonsense, like changing your address or setting up your bank account for direct deposit or stuff like that. There was none of that stuff back then. And that was in 97. Now, most places have that so that you can go on by yourself and set that up on your own. Well, if you're required to do that by your employer, that means that you need internet access, not, oh, I feel like having internet access. You have to have it. It becomes a utility because you need it just for day-to-day life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not a luxury anymore. It's now become mandatory to have it. Mm-hmm. That's what net neutrality is all about.
Well, technically, Title II. Neutrality. Well, yeah, that's Title II. Net neutrality, you know, that's funny. First of all, net neutrality just means everything's neutral, so that nobody, no ISP provider, can charge anyone for better access. Oh, because they don't like something, or they just want to, or whatever it is. And the same thing's true for, and a good analogy people may be able to understand better is with phones. And that's the fact that with phones, you can't just someone calling, me calling someone else on a different carrier, you know, if it was not a utility under Title II, it would, then they could potentially say, no, we're not going to let you call this our customer that's your friend on our network, even if you're on a different network.
Right.
Or on a different carrier. That's what this is. It's the same type of thing. It's just ISPs and you know, serving up whatever the hell you want to get on the internet. It's the same type of thing. They can't have preferential treatment for some and then purposely fuck over others. That's the point. It's just about being neutral. And my favorite thing about people like this is that they clearly don't seem to understand that we are under net neutrality right now, and we always have been with the internet. So when he says something stupid, which makes no sense, like that he's known for saying here, which is calling net neutrality Obamacare for the internet, which makes no sense in and of itself. All I know from that, what I can make of that, is that he's just saying, it's bad, like Obamacare's bad, you know? It's bad.
Well, that, and he also says the internet should not operate at the speed of government, which means, which you get to mean slow. Well, guess what, buddy? You and your party are the reason that government is fucking slow.
And doesn't do anything.
Right.
Yeah. Because you subtract everything, you don't have any ideas. That's what's been going on. So it's funny, because they obviously don't think we are currently using net neutrality. That's the thing. And it's hilarious to me, because we have it right now, and we always have. The difference isn't putting in net neutrality and initializing it. It's we'd be getting rid of it. And they don't understand this.
No, I think they do. The biggest mistake that a lot of people will do, especially people that know better, is that they'll hear this shit and think that he's stupid. Well, he knows what he's doing.
He's stupid.
Yeah, he's stupid, but he's not stupid. Like, he knows what he's proposing is bullshit. He knows the stuff he's saying doesn't make any lick of sense. He's just using buzzwords to get people emotional. Well, I'm emotional, so it worked. And if he doesn't fucking stop doing this shit, I'm going to come over and beat his face in. How's that for emotional, you piece of fucking shit? That's the thing that pissed me off. It's like, if he was actually stupid, like actually didn't know what he was talking about, that'd be one thing. But he knows what the fuck he's saying. He knows why he's purposely saying it the way he is on purpose. This is not by accident. It's not because he doesn't know what he's saying is wrong. He knows he's wrong. He doesn't care. He wants it to be the way the Tom Wheeler wants it and whatever, because, well, he got paid by the companies, the ISPs, just like Tom Wheeler came from there, to change this shit, to wreck it. So, I just there's no convincing somebody who knows they're wrong and doesn't care. You just need a swift punch in the mouth. So if I sound like I'm calling for violence not big violence, not trying to kill him, it'd be nice, but yeah. but am I saying go punch Ted Cruz in the mouth? Yeah, I am. I'll admit it. Go punch him in the mouth. Give him a lip. Give him a busted lip. What?
So I would like to give his stupid ass a nice big punch in the fucking mouth.
Ted Cruz. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I do that? Fuck you. Anyway.
The problem, of course, is that he's, whether he knows it or not, what he's saying, he's obviously going to convince people that, no, we don't have net neutrality and we don't want it because it's bad. And they don't know what it is. Ugh.
Well, as long as they're not making decisions like he is, I don't give a shit that they convinced him. Doesn't matter to me.
Well, but those same people vote. That's the problem.
This ain't going up for a vote at the voting booth. It's not one of those things.
But they vote for the people who do make decisions. That's the
problem. I understand that.
So it does have a chain back to these idiot voters. Unfortunately. To some extent. Because I feel like a lot of these idiot politicians are doing this stuff because to rile up their base, not because it's the right thing to do or anything like that. And the problem is, if we had an actual educated electorate, then we wouldn't be putting in people like this, and then at the same time, the same people we would put in wouldn't be trying to get one over on their voters or whatever by lying to them. Because they're actually knowledgeable. But, of course, the biggest problem is money in politics, as we all know, so just get the fuck rid of that. Which I hope happens really soon, even though I know it won't.
Alright, next up, we are going to go to the A Young Turks video I'm gonna try to hit. Hopefully, you guys can hear this. One of the things I forgot to test out ahead of time was to see if you could hear it well. So, but by the look of the readout of the recording as it's happening, it seems like it's picking up everything, including picking up like every little thing. So, I could. So probably we'd probably hear it fine without moving my speakers, but I'll move them anyway. So. Okay. You ready for this? We're gonna do the Jimmy Dore Show style, where we'll start it, go to a point, pause it whenever we want, and talk about what we heard so far. Are you ready, true believers?
Yes.
All right. Here we go. Here is first speaking is Anna Kasparian. Here we go.
A new study indicates that playing violent video games or watching violent movies doesn't necessarily make you a violent person.
Anna, I have a lot of preconceived notions from the 80s, and these last two stories are fucking those up. So I'd like you to throw them out of the show. Smoking weed leads directly to using heroin and fucks with your brain forever, and if you play violent video games, you will kill your best friend. That's what I was taught when I was 17, I would like that to still be true.
Now the
That was Ben Mankiewicz. Probably nobody really remembers much about him except for when he and this other guy, Ben Lyons, took over for Siskel and Ebert, or Ebert and Robert, a number of years ago. But anyways, that's where I first heard of him. But he's much better here. I don't care for his movie reviewing, but on the Young Turks, he's awesome. So that was him just obviously being sarcastic. So moving on. And you can also, of course, tell me to pause anytime you want, Mike.
Well, thanks for letting me know.
Sure.
Interesting thing is, now that we have studies proving that that's not necessarily the case with marijuana or violent video games, there is still a lot of debate within the scientific community as to whether or not video games or violent movies actually make a person violent. However, this recent study actually kind of discredits all the other studies out there that have made the argument that there is a correlation between violent video games and violent behavior.
I need to stop.
Yep, I figured. I kind of mind read you that one.
I'm going to disagree with her making that claim that it's still a lot of debate on whether or not violent video games makes people violent. Mm-hmm. Bullshit. It's complete bullshit. It's been... Yeah. This new one has discredited lots of studies. Well, yeah, discredited lots of shitty ones that maybe you took too seriously, Anna. I don't know. But that's all I'm thinking, because I've heard many studies that are actually credible throughout the last decade who have said what this one is going to say, that, you know, this usual thing of it doesn't, there's no correlation that makes you violent, blah, 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 no shit, Sherlock, you know? I mean... That's really what it comes down to for me, is like, no, there's no debate about this. If you're debating it still, you're an idiot. I mean, seriously, can you point anyone in your life that is a violent person, that plays video games...
Specifically
because they play video games or they are violent? You probably can't. I guarantee it. 100%. Wherever they're violent because the reason is most likely some other reason. It has nothing to do with them playing.
And the thing that gets me the most about this whole stupid debate is that people that have grown up with video games, like us, they know better, because they themselves have played just as many of the same types of games that we have, and they still act like, oh, there might be some cause for concern. It just
bullshit.
Isn't.
Bullshit. I love violent games, in fact. Give me more. And guess what? I don't do that. I don't do shit that because of it. It's never once made me think, oh yeah, this would be a great idea. Let's go kill some people. Are you fucking kidding me? You know why? Because it has nothing to do with violence in video games. If I'm violent, I'm much more likely to be violent because someone cut through me in line at a fucking store that I was waiting in line at.
Yeah.
Seriously. I'd much more likely be fucking quick to violence on that than any video game I've ever played. Mm-hmm. And that's not even a joke. I'm ready to tear people's head off in fucking public sometimes. So you want to blame someone? Blame society for being a piece of shit. That's my scapegoat, society.
It's a bit
just general across the board society.
It's a better excuse.
It's a fucking right excuse.
All right.
That's where I get my values from. The society I'm in loves the fucking guns and wants to shoot everyone dead. Doesn't want to protect anyone. Ferguson anyone, you know, among others. So, if anything, they've taught me that guns are great and go shoot whoever the fuck you want that pissed you off.
That's right.
So, if anything, that's the pro. That's the thing we need to be looking at. But, of course, we can't do that because it's definitely not that. Oh, my God.
Says the people that have done that.
Of course they do, because they don't want to take responsibility for their actions.
Yet they're the ones that will probably vote Republican and tell you to take responsibility for actions.
Yeah, pull yourself up by your bitch-ass pussy straps. Go fuck yourself.
All right, let me continue.
Yes, please do. Go off somewhere.
You sound enthralled, let me tell you.
So let me tell you who the researchers are and exactly what they did. Christopher Ferguson, a psychologist at Stetson University in Florida, carried out two studies into media violence. In the first, his team correlated U.S. homicide rates between 1920 and 2005 with instances of violence depicted in motion pictures. Although there was evidence of a moderate correlation between a rise in screened and real-life violence during the 1950s, this reversed throughout the rest of the century, with instances of screen violence inversely related to homicide rates in the 1990s. So all he's doing here is he's looking at a correlation. And so he's making the argument that, hey, look at this. We have the violent video games. We have the violent movies. You don't see an increase in crime. You don't see that people become more violent. There's no correlation there. There's a slight correlation maybe in the 1950s, but for the rest of the time that we're looking at, you don't see that correlation. So all these other studies that make the argument don't really make sense. All you have to do is look at the data. Now, there's more
that
I want.
You know why?
Why?
Because it's bullshit.
Of course it's bullshit.
That's all I wanted to say.
Okay.
Read to you guys. In the second study, consumption of violent video games was measured against youth violence rates in the previous 20 years. The study concluded that playing video games coincided with a fall in violent crime perpetrated by those in the 12 to 17 age group. Now look, studies like this are really important, and the reason why I say that is because whenever we have a mass shooting, whenever something violent happens in the country, there is a certain group of people that want to ignore real threats in the country, like, I don't know, the deregulated gun industry or our lack of mental health care in the country, and instead they look at video games and movies as a scapegoat.
Exactly. Like, they'll say something like, oh, you played some Doom. So what?
Yeah, I played lots of fucking Doom, too. I didn't go shoot anyone. Because Doom's fucking rad. So fuck you and take your fucking opinion of Doom and shove it back. Doom's great.
Doom is like the best, one of the best games of all time.
Easily. We should do an episode of this for that sometime. You remember?
Let's talk about Doom or something.
Good old Double Plus Good Games podcast.
Yeah.
They did their top 50 of all time. We should do that sometime.
I don't know if I'm interested in a top anything, but I wouldn't mind me talking about like our experiences with first person shooters. Because we were there when they were getting popular. Hey, what?
Top 50 of all time. Shut up.
I don't have enough to say about that type of shit.
Yes, you do. Oh, Mike. Just think about it a little bit. It'll come to you. I got my list.
I don't.
I keep it curated.
Well, see, I don't do that.
On a daily basis. No, but I do have a list.
All right.
And I'm pretty sure it was because of Double Plus Big Games.
You know what?
I made it.
This is like 2:30 into the video, and it's total 471, 7 minutes and 41 seconds, and I don't really think we need to say any more or even hear any more about it.
No, there really isn't. Plus, Ben Mankiewicz is going to go at the end and show that his beginning sarcasm wasn't really all that sarcastic.
Yeah, that's true. I do remember that. Yeah.
And I was just like, dude, what the fuck is wrong with you? I don't want to hear that again because I'll just lose my mind.
Isn't that what this podcast is for? To hear Mike lose his mind.
Well, if that's one of the goals, then mission accomplished sometimes.
I guess. Okay, well, we're not getting away from TYT, though. This is specifically about, and again, it's Anna Kasparian talking at first. It's about the if anyone's heard about the was it in the United States where we sent the, is that the country that was behind the landing on the comet, or was it another country?
That was France, I want to say.
I don't know now.
Some European something. I don't know. Europe. Let's see.
Okay, European Space Agency.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Yeah.
And apparently, the scientist Matt Taylor had a shitty shirt.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh my God.
Remember, it's gonna stop people from joining.
Oh yeah.
A woman will be so offended by a shirt that she'll stop in her tracks to pursue a career in space. It's like, that is so stupid. In fact, do I need to really do the video now? Because I kind of explained everything. I mean...
Well, there's not much else to say. Just some people... The Anita Sarkeesian types, let's call them.
That's definitely what it is.
you know, complained about his shirt. It's effective. Who cares about you doing this incredible feat of scientific, you know, engineering and whatever? Who cares? Your shirt is sexist.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously. A, I don't really find his shirt to be sexist, because maybe I guess I'm just not so fucking, you know, my sensibilities aren't so weak and pathetic.
You're offended, not offended at everything?
Yeah, I'm not offended at everything. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. I don't get offended just because someone has a dumb shirt on. And let me make it fucking clear. His shirt is ugly. It's really stupid looking. I'm not trying to say I like the
shirt. But it's not stopping anybody, any woman.
But it's not stopping anyone from doing anything. Because if it's stopping you, if a shirt is stopping you from doing something, you did not want to do it very much at all, now did you?
No, you didn't.
You weren't very motivated in the first place. So who would want you anyway?
That's for sure. So I guess we'll just move on there. Skip the video.
Fuck it.
Yeah, fuck it. I ain't got time for that shit. every year, as we always know, and I hate the fucking things. I hate the fucking Spike Video Game Awards, and I hate Jeff Keighley, who hosts them, because his personality just turns me the fuck off. He's the fakest motherfucker ever. And that the only reason that it's even around is for two reasons. One, to give Spike TV some fucking goddamn viewership that they otherwise wouldn't have. And two, for Jeff Keighley to ultimately rub elbows with people in the industry. That's the only fucking reason it's around. And if you think it's any other reason, well, then you're an idiot. Because the fucking audience that you see on TV is not made up of you and me and the regular gamers. That's a fucking chosen audience to make it look like it's diverse. Bullshit. Fuck that nonsense. I hate... You like I love that Mike here has a curated top 50 list of video games that he likes. But what I don't want to see on a program that's supposed to celebrate games and give out awards is to see a curated audience. All right, go fuck yourself.
Curated list, not audience.
Right, exactly. And not only top of that, the fucking I remember the one of the first years they ran, the game of the year was done like right away. Well, that's not how you do it. And on top of that, the stupid common topics you'd see is games fueled by Dew. What the fuck does that mean?
Well, it means nothing.
It doesn't mean anything other than to get Mountain Dew as a sponsor on there.
Yeah.
Good for you, mister. You're going to have Doritos next? Of course you will. so it's all fake, and then, of course, I could bring up Angry Joe's thing with him, but I won't because I don't even remember the details anymore. But it's just basically all fake as fuck. Fake as bullshit. And now I guess they figure this year they'll change the name of it and just call it The Game Awards. And somehow that makes it different. Well, no, it doesn't. Because guess what? Jeff Keighley is still fucking part of it. So until he's gone, it won't mean shit. And even then, I'm still going to reserve judgment. Or I still would judge it just as harshly if someone else is doing the exact same thing and it just wasn't him. So, there you go. Fuck this shit too. Same new name, same old shit. That's what I say. Because it will be. Because it will be.
Because they tried to change it last year. They called it VGX, if you recall. It didn't have an audience around, but it was still just almost as bad.
It's just goofy. It's the same goofy shit, and that's the thing. Jeff Keighley
had Joe McHale trying to be funny, and of course he's never funny.
So it doesn't matter where he's at. He can be here or E3. It doesn't fucking matter. Here's the thing: they clearly think that if they keep changing the fucking name, that they'll somehow fucking fool people into thinking it's good. Well, it's not. And it's not going to be, because you guys don't know how to make a fucking show. You suck. God.
And not to mention,
games deserve better. I'm sorry to interrupt you. But games fucking deserve better awards. And that's why the GEC Awards is better. We don't need you. Go a fuck away. The industry was fine before your stupid vomit 20 years ago, whatever the fuck it was. We don't need you now. Get the fuck out.
Yeah, and I have to rant about the stupid list of nominees.
I got it on my screen. Don't worry.
Because we're getting into that. Garbage. First of all, I look and I'm like, really? You have 6 categories. That's it. 6.
And yeah, it says full list of year's nominees.
Yeah.
Can be found below, and there's 6 categories, and not every one of them means a damn lick of shit.
Like, for example... one of them on here is titled Best Performance. To me, this only is there so that they can once again bring in celebrities, D-list celebrities who do voices and act like, "Oh yeah, I get to talk to Kevin Spacey because he's nominated and he's here and I'm Jeff Keighley and I want to rub elbows with, movie stars." That's what it is. That's what
that's what this whole thing has been since he started. That's all it's ever been.
But that's what that category specifically is for. So to get those people there if they want to show up, so he can go and pretend like he's some big shot because he gets to fucking talk to a few of them a few times.
And if you think we're wrong about this, which we're not, then fucking tell Jeff Keighley to fucking call me up. So you can give me his dumbass PC answer, and I can tell him to shove it up his balls, shove my opinion where his balls were. How's that? Fuck him.
And then they have Games for Change. Like, what is that? What the fuck? Well, all I can think of is what that is like the stupid bullshit fucking idea that games need to stop being less violent. Stop being violent. And it just needs to be something else that's more inclusive or some shit. I don't know. That's what it sounds like to me. And I'm like, games don't need to change.
Games don't need to be PC and inclusive, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, first of all, second of all, I don't...
And I don't mean that...
You don't need to change games. If you want to make a game, whatever the fuck you want to make, you could just make it and release it. That's what you've been doing. We don't need to
change. When I say they don't need to be inclusive, I'm obviously not referring to the developmental side. I'm referring to what the game is actually of. Like, when you're playing it, what is that game? Like, it doesn't need to be PC, which is why, last episode, that game hatred. I'm all for it, because fuck you. You don't like it? You don't like the idea of it? If it somehow rubs your morals the wrong way, then don't fucking buy it. Hey, that's how you vote with your wallet, you dumbass,
And with this category, whoever wins this category, go and pat yourself on the back for being different. No one cares.
Exactly.
All I care is that you're good and that you're engaging, and it doesn't really matter to me exactly how or why, but just being like, "Oh, I'm making a statement, I'm artistic," go fuck yourself. I'll make that decision. Go pat yourself on the back in a fucking closet where no one can see you.
Even like the other ones, like Game of the Year has Bayonetta 2, Dark Souls 2, Dragon Age Inquisition, which is hilarious, it just came out.
Well, of course.
Maybe, I don't know. Fuck whatever. Some Dragon Age game just came out. I'm pretty sure that's the one. So I don't know how they know it's already Game of the Year.
Well, it is Game of the Year, of course, right?
It's Game of the Year. This was listed... Okay, this article here listing these was November 20th, 2014. And what it just came... I think it came out like this week. Or, like a week
or
later.
Or the previous week. Or
basically,
whatever.
The point is that you don't know already. So stop acting like you do. It also has Hearthstone and Middle-Earth Shadow of Mordor, so...
Which I bet that's the one they're going to pick.
I don't care which one they pick, because none of these mean anything, because it's not a... This show's never meant anything, so... I just wanted to bitch about it. I
also like Developer of the Year. That's also a really stupid category.
Yes, it is.
Because what are you exactly saying? Whoever made the best game? Well, then just award the game.
Yeah, exactly.
In like Game of the Year or whatever, or something else. And because most studios don't have more than one game a year anyway, so it just doesn't make any sense.
Do the Emmys have an award for Best Movie Studio of the Year?
No.
Exactly, so that's fucking stupid.
I know.
But I think it's another way to get the elbows rubbed.
Or Developer of the Year could be a good award if it was like individuals.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Not companies. Right. That makes no sense.
Yeah, because these guys can go anywhere.
Who's to say? Because I don't know, but who's to say that Nintendo's inclusion as one of their nominees for this, who's to say that they're just putting him in there because they published games? Like, remember, they didn't make Bayonetta 2. They published Bayonetta 2.
Right.
So, if that's the kind of idea they're going with, then they're just, what, Publisher of the Year then? That doesn't make any sense, and that's dumb too, because they didn't make it
either. Right.
So, I don't understand what they're doing, and it's really stupid. If you're going to have, that kind of Developer of the Year thing, you should be doing individuals or individual teams that make a specific game or games, not... But even then, it's like, well, just award the game, you know?
Yep.
Like, I don't understand it. I mean, who wins? The one who released the most games? Just quantity?
Sure,
based?
Why not?
I don't really know. I don't get
it. It all makes no sense anyway. let's see here. I guess I'll just go real quick to the ending tab on your thing. Pull it forward. The one about GameStop. Just a real quick thing about them being... I saw it many places like, hey, they'll be closing Thanksgiving. I'm like, but they've never done that before, so why are they doing that now? And what I love is that their excuse is, they're doing it out of respect to their associates and families. Oh, really? Really? So what stopped you the last couple years? What stopped you years before? They've never done this before. They've never been closed on Thanksgiving. And all of a sudden, out of respect of our associates and their families. Where was this respect before? Previous years?
Who knows?
Like, what makes you all of a sudden special now? I'm not saying to be open. I wish you weren't, ever. I wish everybody would have closed down and stopped having their Black Friday bullshit and their Cyber Monday and Circle Jerk and whatever the fuck else. You can do these sales any time of the year. You don't need to wait until the fucking Thanksgiving day.
Well, I'll say this about this stuff. I don't, on the surface at least, have a problem with Black Friday sales as long as they're online. Because the problem to me with Black Friday sales is physically going to stores and then getting trampled or having other...
Yeah.
Just dealing with crowds. Where situations can have been dangerous in the past in different places. So, to me, it should be online only if you're going to do it at all. That way you don't have to put up with that crap. And no one gets trampled and killed over some stupid sale.
But again, even then, what does it hurt to do it any other time of the year? You can create any black day of the week you want. Any time of the year. People are going to come for it. They don't need it. They're not... It's just doing it just right now. It makes it sound like... This time of year, it makes it sound like that, well, no one would buy it any other time of the year. Are you fucking kidding me? If you gave someone a flat-screen TV for, like, 75, 80% off, they would show up. I don't care if it's middle of the summer or in the middle of fucking March or something. They'd be there. Mm-hmm. If they want one, they'll be there. So I don't understand why this needs to be done specifically this... Right after Thanksgiving, it doesn't make any fucking sense. Well, now it's not even after Thanksgiving. It's on Thanksgiving a lot of times. Like, it just swallows up the whole week. It's like Christmas swallowing up Halloween. It makes no sense.
Soon it'll be the entire year.
Yep. And then maybe we'll get it moved off.
Non-stop Christmas.
Ugh. Fuck off. Fuck that shit. God damn. I don't know what this thing in here this article about it says something about a brain tumor removed. Maybe GameSpot took the brain tumor out of her head and realized they should give him off Thanksgiving. Oh, God. Anyways. So, Steam Early Access, that's bullshit, right? Quality control out the ass, not working, right?
Of course not. And I disagree with it, even if you have policies in place to get stuff curated or to get people to look over it ahead of time, I still think it's dumb. Because it's still the end of the day, people are offering games that are not finished for money. So I still am against it regardless.
Yeah, I am too. And their main reason for the new updates to the guidelines is because customers should be buying your game based on its current state and not promises of future, of a future that may or may not be realized.
Yes, and how you fix this in that way, simple, you get rid of early access. That's the only way to do it.
Yeah, I would agree.
I don't know, so I don't understand why they think they could have it both ways. It doesn't make any sense.
Basically, it's like this. It's like, it feels like it's like a beta, but half like Kickstarter and shit going on. It's just really nonsense. And then on top of that, you got fucking these people that are putting out just garbage games that like Jim Sterling goes over all the time. Mm-hmm. And even I've mentioned on my own blog, and it's just what. And then they get all upset about it that he'll bring it up, and it's like, but these are garbage. It's garbage. If you think this is good, then you need to go. Then you need to check yourself, because and go into another line of work, because you can't do this. Because this is just. I really do think that a lot of people that feel a lot of developers that are more independent, they feel they can get away with this shit because the bigger publishers overall have gotten away with this sloppiness. Like, they'll put out actual retail discs that need day one patches because they just want to hit a deadline and they don't give a shit about, you know, making it actually work. Like, if it's on the disc and it doesn't work, who cares? They can patch it. Like, I don't think that it should be allowed to even do that. So maybe I have... I guess I should apologize for having, I don't know, standards. Excuse me for having how goddamn standards. I know. What's wrong with me? And people just, these days, just seem to just be like, apologizing for this shit. It's like, unless you're the fucking CEO, you should not be acting like that. I don't give a fuck if they're making a game on an IP, based on an IP or something that you like. That doesn't mean you should actually have higher standards because you like it, not lower. But that's what it usually is, lower. Down to the depths, bottom of the barrel,
how low can it go?
Bullshit.
How low can it
go? They can go pretty low, a lot of these people. Like, I heard what the fucked up mess that was, let's say, Fallout New Vegas or whatever. And they just throw it out there. Who gives a shit if it's a mess? We'll patch it later. Or you got the whole thing with the problem with the PS3 version of Skyrim, and they're just like, oh, we'd have to do it from the ground up to fix the problems with the save problems or whatever the hell the problems were. And I'm just like, well, you got the money, so you need to go do that. It's one thing if you hadn't put out the game yet or you didn't have people's money yet, but you fucking have their money, and then you're just like, oh, I don't give a shit if it doesn't work for you. I got your money. Ha ha ha. I'm running to the bank laughing. No, you fucking make a product that you expect people to buy. We should have some standards if I expect you to put it out correctly and fix the goddamn thing if it's not. And you should be striving to make it so you don't have to put out a patch. Not saying ever, but, you know... You shouldn't be like, oh, fuck it, day one patch, who cares? Every game's got a day one patch now because they're just sloppy motherfuckers.
Yeah.
I mean, look at that most recent, almost everything coming out of fucking Ubisoft right now is garbage. Like, well, I could say that for almost every game, period, this November. Like, you go down a release list, they're probably all fucked in some way. I mean, you got Assassin's Creed Unity. What else came out recently? I'm actually asking because I don't remember.
Oh, I don't really give a shit.
But... You don't give a shit.
Well, they had, you know, Rogue as well, but that seems to be less.
Yeah, it does.
That's probably because it's based on the older engine from 4.
Yeah, that might be.
So.
Oh yeah. We can't forget WWE 2K15, which is a pile of shit in every form it comes in.
Yeah, well, the problem with wrestling games is we need to stop relying on Zooks and get some.
Yeah, that's the one thing. Like when THQ sold the rights off and then 2K picked it up for that series, I was hoping that they would switch developers. No, they kept them on. Oh, goody, great. Yeah. Goddamn, gosh, great, goody.
Yeah, there was a time when they were definitely the top of the game, but that time is long since passed.
Yep.
It seriously needs a change. We need some fresh ideas. We need not just trying to make the same stupid things over and over again. I want what Shidoshi said in that one podcast.
Yeah.
I can't explain it off the top of my head because he was very... It was definitely the most ambitious... One of the most ambitious games, period, ever. Not just a wrestling game.
Mm-hmm.
To do it the way he claimed that it would be great. But it would be great if someone could pull it off. So... That'd be a wrestling game and it'd truly be worth it.
Yeah, I haven't gotten the game since SmackDown Here Comes the Pain. I mean, that's not true. I got TNA Impact, but that was because it was a different, you know, developer and everything. And
you wanted to see if
it right. was good. I haven't really played it at all since I bought it, so I can't really say, but that's the main reason I bought it. I was like, this looks like it might be something decent and interesting. But yeah, everything since Here Comes the Pain WWE related, I have not bothered with at all. I just don't give a fucking shit.
Yeah, I don't really care so much about... That's the thing about the Butchie's idea, is that it wasn't based on, like, trying to make it... It was actually... It wasn't based on a specific promotion's, you know, content. It was based on just being a generic kind of thing that you could build around, you know, by having a lot of customization. So if you want a specific wrestler in there, you could have the tools to make them, among many other aspects that sounded really great. So that's what I would prefer at this point. I'm not married to anybody's specific wrestling promotion to... where I'd get overly excited about it, you know, about a game released on it. I'd rather... I get more excited if it's actually, you know, an interesting new take on pro wrestling games and doesn't even have to have a promotion associated.
Mm-hmm.
It could just be another Fire Pro that was new and different. I don't care.
I don't mind it. Like, I'm not one of those people that cares about created wrestlers. I just don't care. I mean, I have dabbled with it in the past, but I've just never been that interested in it. It's always been more complicated as years go on, which is cool for people who want it, but I just don't care.
Well, that's what you pretty much have to have, though, for generic.
Yeah, you would. Like I said, I don't care that it's in there.
Whatever the fuck.
I just don't want it. I just don't care about it. So, that's all I'm saying. So. Any other parting words before we get out of here?
Nope, doesn't sound like I have one, no. No words.
They all escaped you? Or you said them?
I've said all the words.
Alright. Well, that'll do it. I drop things while I drop things. You can catch us at mjkurtzman.wordpress.com. That's where this podcast is at, the website the podcast is at. You can also follow us on this podcast on Twitter. It's at Heart and Usagi. Usagi? And where are you at there, brother?
I am on WordPress at usagi704.wordpress.com, and Twitter, usagi704, and YouTube, same name if you want to check out my rarely posted videos. That's where I'm at, mostly.
Okay. And, of course, we are on iTunes, so subscribe here, subscribe here, subscribe here for Heart and Second Podcast. That's a reference, the way I delivered that.
I don't know what that is.
Russell Brand's The Trues. He starts off everyone's videos like, subscribe here, subscribe here, subscribe here. So yeah, subscribe here, subscribe here. And you can also, of course, any podcasting app, you can just throw in the RSS feed that we have from FeedBurner, and it will get you set up to download us every stinking time. And speaking of that, woo, it's getting stinky here. It's time to go. All right. Have a good one, guys. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.